Let us open up our Bibles to John chapter 10. We'll read the verses 1 to 21. And I'd initially planned to preach the whole text, but I realized it'd be way too much. So we'll look at verses 1 to 5 on page 1140 in your pew Bibles. This is entitled The Good Shepherd, Part 1. John chapter 10. I'll read to you the verses 1 to 21. This is the Word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes out to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own his sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others says, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we know that you can open the eyes of the blind. Father, we pray that you can make those who see better and understand better. Father, we pray that you do both of that this morning through the Word. Father, we pray that you'd speak to us by your Holy Spirit, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, I read to verse 21 so that you can see that this all belongs to John chapter 9 as well. Right? Let me read to you the sentence again just in case you may have missed it. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Right? We're still in the same setting. We're talking to the same people as John chapter 9 ended last week. And so I owe you an apology. Last week, I told you that this would be the last time that we will look at the blind man healed, and now I realized by my own ignorance of John chapter 10's setting that John chapter 10 also speaks about the healing of the blind man, and that the whole Good Shepherd figure of speech that Jesus uses, both of them are connected to the blind man healed by Jesus Christ. And so we come back to the Pharisees of John chapter 9. The people that said, are we also blind? Or were in fact saying, you're not saying we are blind, are you? And Jesus says, because you say we see, your guilt remains. And so we come back to this people, the Pharisees, who were sure that they were not blind. Because they belonged, after all, to the Pharisaic tradition. The people who were the most conservative Jews at the time, who held high the tradition of their fathers and the words of Moses. And this tradition taught them how to please God, how to live in this world according to holiness. And so they were not blind. They had God's word as a lamp to their feet. And their tradition as the shepherd to lead them through the life of this earth. And so they had always been in this tradition. They had always followed these men from generation to generation. And the men they saw as their teachers were their shepherds to lead them to God. Now, as you saw in John chapter 9, that gives us a problem, right? Because the shepherds that cast out the blind man out of the synagogue and says, out you go, you're no longer belong to us, is the very same man that Jesus says, you come and follow me. So we have two shepherds, two contrary positions. The one person says, you don't belong to God, we cast you out. And Jesus says, you belong to God, stay with me. And so Jesus, in that context, is going to talk to us about shepherds. Now, I am sure that when I showed you the little puppets here on the stage, you thought, well, this is not going to be our sermon. This is too simple and too simplistic for us. But in a way, Jesus does that, right? With words, he describes a picture that all of us can understand. But as we see, they didn't get the picture. So we pray that the Holy Spirit would open our minds to help us understand what this truly means. And so Jesus told them, in fact, you need your eyes opened. You have a mountain of guilt stacked upon your back, but you cannot see it. And if you don't open your eyes, your guilt remains. But this blind man here, whom you people call the sinner, and I assume this because the disciples called him a sinner, which I think would be the cultural thing to think, was this man a sinner or were his parents a sinner? So the people who they would perceive as a sinner has his eyes open because he follows me. He was thrown out by the Pharisees because he has met me and opened, and I opened his eyes so that he became a worshiper of me. And he follows me now because he belongs to me. But you Pharisees, men who love the Bible, do not come to be healed, nor do you come to worship me, nor do you come to follow me. You see the setting? So this is the great question of the day. Why this difference? Why is Jesus strong to these men, these Bible scholars, so to speak, while at the same time he lets this beggar into his kingdom? He opens the eyes of this man who all of his life he could do nothing but sit and beg for money. He has never produced anything for this city and nation of God. So why did Jesus heal this blind man and sought him out after he was healed? So that the blind man would believe while the Pharisees were left in their unbelief. Isn't it interesting what we saw last time? That Jesus went to him. This is what it says in John 9:35. Jesus heard that he had cast him out, and having found him, he said. So here he first heals a man. His eyes are open. Then he goes after him and finds that same man to worship, to invite him to believe on the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ. So what is this difference? Well, we'll read it in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. But we'll begin today with the first figure of speech in verses 1 to 5. And if you have your bulletin, this will be the points this morning. The sheep, the first point is the sheep, a thief, a shepherd, and a doorkeeper. The second point is the thief unmasked and the shepherd revealed. And the third point is the sheep's response to the voice of the true shepherd. So let us begin with this picture, this figure of speech. What does it mean? What is Jesus showing these people? Jesus describes actually two different sheep pens. So if you're into the details, both pictures do not describe the same sheep pen. The one that we see this morning is a larger sheep pen, a sheep pen that had shepherds or one shepherd who had enough money to pay for a guard at the door. They had a doorkeeper. In the next one, you'll find that Jesus says, I am the shepherd and I am the door, which describes a smaller pen. So there's two different illustrations and two different meanings in these 2 weeks. Now, this kind of a sheep pen was an enclosed plot of land where different folds of sheep would be gathered together. And there was a doorkeeper who was hired by the shepherds who owned the sheep. And then when the shepherd wanted to bring his sheep out, he would come to the doorkeeper and he said, well, I'd like to get my sheep out. And the doorkeeper would say, all right, well, call the sheep that are yours. So the shepherd would call his sheep, and because they were his sheep, they recognized the voice of their shepherd. And so those who were the sheep that belonged to this particular shepherd would come out while the rest remained behind. Right? So these other sheep belonged to other shepherds, but the sheep knew the voice of their own shepherd. Now, this is nothing miraculous, so to speak. If your son's name is John, and you stand next to three other men whose son is John, and you blindfold them, and one of the fathers says, John, come to me, the right John will know to which father he belongs. Right? He recognizes the voice of his father. And so these sheep recognize the voice of these sheep. And so what would happen, and I've seen this happen in my own country, is when a shepherd would call, that sheep would come out and others would remain behind. And the shepherds would probably be able to tell which ones belonged to him, but if they had no labels, it'd be hard to tell. But these sheep knew their shepherd. And so he called them out and the sheep would come forward. Now, of course, if a thief would come to the sheep pen, as you saw in the illustration, the sheep would not come out because they didn't recognize the voice. So the thieves would go in the shadow of darkness and climb over the wall and steal the sheep against their will. They would try to wrestle with the sheep and try to get the sheep out of the sheep pen by force. And the sheep would be in great fear as they were overpowered by these shepherds, by these thieves and these robbers. So this is the picture that Jesus paints for us. So let us go to our second point, the thief unmasked and the shepherd revealed. Now, the thief, Jesus says, is the one who does not walk in through the door. And in verse 5, he is the stranger to whom the sheep will not listen to. Now, of course, this is ultimately Satan. Right? Satan is the one who the true children of God will not follow ultimately. But I think in the context of John chapter 9, the thief and the robbers is almost certainly a picture of the Pharisees, the false teachers. The false teachers who try to force their will with their violence and their aggression upon the people who are really the Lord's sheep. Especially because in John chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus describes them as thieves and robbers, plural. Right? In John 1-5, it's a man, a thief. So we don't know if it's one or more, but in John 10:8, he describes them in plural. Men who had no ownership over these sheep, but used force and scare tactics over the people of God. John chapter 9, verse 22-23 says this, his parents, that's the parents of the blind man, said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. That's the first mark of a thief. The second in John chapter 9, verse 34, they answered him, this is the Pharisees to the blind man, you were born in utter sin, would you teach us? And they cast him out. That's the second sign of the thieves, the robbers who climb in to the fold of God and try to rob people from God to follow themselves. And so these men try to scare people into submission so they would follow themselves rather than Jesus. In John 10, Jesus is most clearly speaking about the Pharisees of the day. Now you can imagine this. Right here, this blind man stands next to Jesus Christ. There are these Pharisees. He's just been booted out of the synagogue, booted out of the religion of God, Yahweh's people, he's been said, you get out of here. He is standing outside, and the only person that is really visibly his friend is Jesus Christ and maybe his disciples if they're by his side. And Jesus turns the tables and he says, really the ones that should be cast out is all of that. Because I am the true shepherd. And you who have been a blind man, who have been despised, who everybody's been wondering and buzzing about in the city, was he a sinner or were his parents a sinner? You are the one who truly belongs to the good shepherd sent by God. But I don't think we need to limit it to the Pharisees in the times of Jesus Christ. I don't think this is something of the past. I think there are still men going around trying to force and steal the people of God away from God to follow themselves and their own religion by the same tactics, the same scare tactics as here. Beloved, any so-called servant of God that uses force and scare tactics to bring God's people into submission to themselves are thieves and robbers of the fold of God, because they do not lead the people to God. People who are under pretense of strict religion and strict adherence to certain standards to place themselves at the very center of religion, to make themselves as the examples of what a man, what a Christian, or whatever religion should be like, is in fact a thief and a robber of the people of God. Which is why, by the way, legalism is not just a mistake. If a man teaches legalism consistently with a way of forcing it upon people, where he becomes the center of holy fear and reverence rather than love for Jesus Christ, that man is a thief and a robber in the sight of Jesus Christ. You see how serious this is? It's most clearly seen by the fruit of the ministry. Fear for the minister rather than love for God. If you find that your pastor, your elders, or whatever the situation in the congregation is a place where it's fear upon the pastor or the minister and not love for God that comes into the hearts of the people, welcome, you have realized that there is a thief and a robber of the people of God. Because every true servant of God hides himself and sets Christ at the center because it is Christ's voice calling the sheep to himself. You see that? It's very common. This is a religion. Jesus describes not one thief or a robber. He describes a whole system of thieves and robbers. Doesn't mean that every Pharisee was like this or every Sadducee or the whole religion was like this. Absolutely not. We find in when the church begins to grow, a lot of Pharisees are converted and become Christians. Jesus even says, if you are a scribe and you believe in me, you have two treasures to give out. You have the old and the new, and you be very useful in the kingdom of God. But these men that cast out the blind man, and you, I want you to see the power of Jesus' words here. Here is a whole system who men and proper straight backs and showing them how powerful they are and talking to each other. They cast this little worm out and they're all patting themselves on the back and see how we've rid this place of this sinner. Jesus says, you are sinners, robbers, and thieves, enemies of God himself. And just like the sheep feared the thieves, so the people feared the Pharisees. And just like the sheep loved the shepherd, so this blind man loved Jesus Christ. So, is there a certain reverence and fear that must be placed in the hearts of people towards an elder? Yes, I think Jesus says you should fear and honor your leaders. But when a man begins to speak in certain ways that he presses fear upon the people, squeezes the people in, you've got a robber and a thief in front of you. You see what I'm saying? Well, it's really not hopefully me saying. I think the Word brings this out very clearly. Beloved, the true ministry of Jesus Christ is always marked by love for God, and it always births love for God. The New Testament speaks of no other Christianity. I love this phrase in the book of Acts. And the people were filled with the fear of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Right? This is a reverence for God, a love for Jesus Christ, and a communion with the Holy Spirit. That's Christianity. Which brings us to the shepherd. This, of course, is Jesus Christ. He is the one who identifies himself in verse 11 as the good shepherd. The good shepherd. He enters in by the door that has God sent him into the world to call his own sheep. He has the right to come to his sheep and speak to them. And really the only right for anyone to speak to you is God. And so Jesus comes through the door and speaks to his sheep and calls his sheep out. Jesus says, I am the shepherd, and I've come through this door into this world to call my people out, and they will follow me. Others jump the gate and try to force people into following them by fear and scare tactics. But I come through the door because God is the one who sent me, and I do not use manipulation or force, but I use my voice. I speak to the hearts of people. And when they hear my voice, they will come and follow me. They will recognize that I am their shepherd, and they will get up and follow me. Now, what does it mean to hear the voice of Jesus Christ? I've had people in evangelism, when I said, do you want to believe in Jesus Christ or do you want to know about God? They say, oh yes, but I can't seem to hear his voice. So is Jesus speaking about an audible voice? Well, we have to look at the context. This is why it's so crucial to realize that in John chapter 10, verse 1, the you is not introduced as a new people, but the same people of John 9, which means you can take the chapter heading out and you can connect 9 and 10 together. Because chapter 9 is the context of John chapter 10. If you want to understand John chapter 10, it has to be in light with John chapter 9. Now, how can we say in John chapter 9, what does it mean to hear the voice of the shepherd? Well, we could say that Jesus, that the blind man heard Jesus Christ's voice, or the seeing man heard the voice of Jesus Christ, but I think this is what hearing means. He believed. He said, I believe. He worshiped him. That is when you hear the voice of Jesus Christ. If he brings the gospel to you and you believe and begin to worship him, that is the hearing of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ doesn't write his message upon the clouds and then brings an audible system through the clouds so that we can all hear his voice, or uses certain decibels that some people are created to hear and other people are not. No. He brings the message into this world so that whoever believes Jesus Christ will be saved, and those who are saved will worship him. You see that? You see how John 9 is the explanation, the illustration of John 10. I think another example would be John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. Right? It's amazing how John takes the most unlikely people to be saved, and they're saved. Right? The Samaritan woman who was living with the seven men after she had had six husbands. the Samaritan woman who was the outcast among the Samaritans who were the outcast among the Israelites. Right, the outcast of the outcast who was as far removed from the temple as you can possibly imagine is now visited, John chapter 2, by the new temple, Jesus Christ. And she is brought in. How do we know that she heard his voice? Because she went out and told all the Samaritans and came back believing. Because she received the living water. Now, this is not an intonation in a pastor's voice, or a certain sparkling of the voice, or a certain trance that we go into. It is simply when the gospel is proclaimed. Come all you who are burdened and heavy laden with your sin, come and cast your sin upon Christ because he went to the cross and died for your sin so that you no longer have to die for your sin. If you say, I believe that, you have cleansed my soul from sin. And so now logically, because all my sin is gone, I'll worship you, Christ. Your heart is transformed and your life is transformed, and by meeting Jesus Christ in the gospel, you're saved. That's the hearing of the voice of Jesus Christ. Remember, the sheep, what does the voice do? It makes them come to the shepherd. That's the picture. If they hear the gospel call and you respond to it, it means you have heard the shepherd's voice by what? By your following after Jesus Christ. It's amazing how a simple picture can destroy the Christianity of some and confirm it of others, isn't it? There are many who say, oh yeah, I believed in Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, I've become a Christian. Yeah, he's my shepherd, you know, sing the songs, but they do not follow Jesus Christ. They do not walk like Jesus Christ. They do not talk like Jesus Christ. They do not love like Jesus Christ because they are not following the shepherd. But those who have met Jesus Christ in the gospel and begin to walk like him and talk like him and love like him show that they have heard the voice of the shepherd. Isn't that amazing how this simple picture brings out both together? It's the shepherd coming to the sheep pen. They must have seen it many times. The shepherd says to the doorkeeper, "Can I call my sheep? Go ahead. Come here, John, Bob, Bella." Sheep come out. Shepherd walks. Sheep follow. Shepherd leads them to green pastures. Sheep eat from the green pastures and drink from the water. That's Christianity in picture form. It's us, not by ourselves. But Jesus coming to us through the gospel. And as he speaks the gospel to us, our lives are changed. Because somehow, in some way, we realize that he is calling us. And because we believe in him, we begin to follow him. And he leads us through the green pastures of this world, feeding us with spiritual food, feeding us with comfort, joy, and love in the Holy Spirit. While others stay behind. You may have in one family a twin, one boy, going through the absolute same experiences, their mother clothing them with the same clothes, going through the same schools, getting the same grades, singing the same songs, going to the same church. One of them becomes a believer and the other one doesn't. How? Because the shepherd speaks and the sheep hear his voice. That's the sovereignty of God. It's astonishing, isn't it? Some hear, others don't. Not because they're better or worse, not because they're more religious, but because Jesus is their shepherd. And so I've had people asking me on this whole topic of how this works. Well, I really want to follow him, but I can't because I don't think I'm elect. That doesn't make sense. Because if you want to follow him, it means that you are a sheep. If you really want to follow him. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, and you want to live like Jesus Christ and love like Jesus Christ, you must give your life to Him, trust in Him, take up your cross and follow Him. There is no person in hell who wanted to follow Jesus Christ. Doesn't make sense, right? Sheep in the pen that don't belong to the shepherd don't want to follow the shepherd. The sheep that belong to the shepherd want to follow the shepherd. So, Jesus answered in chapter 9, verse 3, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Do you remember that? The man was blind not because he was a sinner or his parents were exceptional sinners that he deserved blindness, but because God, the work of God, might be displayed in him. This man, beloved, was a sheep from the moment he was born. But he did not recognize the voice of the shepherd until his John 9th day. Right, however old he was. He didn't know it. He never met Jesus Christ. But when he heard it, he obeyed and believed. And that's amazing, isn't it? Jesus may have passed by that place 10, 20, maybe 100 times. They usually sit at prominent places to get money. Right? And the same in the book of Acts even more. Right? This man that is healed by the gate, by the famous gate. The man who sat there all his life. Jesus followed in through and out. And then one moment, boom, he hears the voice. And he believes in Jesus Christ. Beloved, we spread the gospel around the world like the shepherd calls out his sheep among the flock, not knowing which sheep will come out. You may like a particular sheep in the front and you say, "I really hope that sheep will come out," but that's not how it works. But we spread the gospel far and wide, and we find sometimes the most unlikely persons to come to faith, sometimes the most likely persons. Right? Jesus is not saying only the ones who are down and out can be saved. Any person can be saved when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is how we recognize it. People have told me, in the Netherlands I have a lot of friends who are Arminians, they're dear friends, they're men of prayer. But they say, if you believe that God elects, why would you go out and preach the gospel? They will come anyway. I say, no, because God tells me. God tells me, go preach the gospel, and those who believe will be saved. So, but that doesn't matter. God is willing to use means, simple means, broken means, like you and me, in bringing out the gospel, that when we bring out the gospel, people will come to faith. It's His work. It's not our work. Because else I could walk around with pride saying, I've converted that person, I've converted that person, I've done this work, and if I hadn't preached the gospel, those people wouldn't be saved. Well, that would give me pride. Now all I have is humility. Well, I wish there'd be more humility and less pride, but in this field, there is no room for pride, is there? Because you bring out the gospel which is not your own, by the power which is not your own, through the words which are not your own, by the mouth which is not your own, through the strength which is not your own, to people who you don't know and how they respond and how their mind works and all of that, and God saves them by His power, by His means, by His strength. He spreads the gospel into the world and His sheep will believe. Which is also true. If America will not share the gospel, no sheep will be saved. This is possible, but very few sheep will be saved. Why? Well, we can say it's the sovereignty of God, but it's also the shepherds who do not go out and preach the word. The echoes of the great shepherd. So, if you love America, you share the gospel. If you don't share the gospel, you don't love your people. That's the truth. All right, let's go to to the third point, the way of the true shepherd. Let's see the beautiful way, and I have to bring this maybe in a little short, but listen to this. John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. "To him," that's the shepherd, Jesus, "the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by nay. Isn't that amazing? And leads them out. When he has brought all his own out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus Christ calls his sheep by name. If you are a believer today, and you're one who believes in Jesus Christ and worships the King, the Shepherd, Jesus Christ, this is a fact. He called you out by name. Jesus exerted energy to bring the gospel with his words to your heart by name, individually, speaking to you, bringing you into the kingdom. And he knew this before the beginning of time. The shepherd who calls his sheep doesn't say, "Sheep, come follow me." That's not how it works. He says, "Clara or Bella or whatever the sheep name are in America." Right? He calls them by sheep. John, Peter, Paul, Annabelle, whatever. He calls them by name. He brings them in one by one by one through the narrow gate. That's how he saves his people. Not as though, the same is, I mean, this is, don't get the picture wrong. It's not as though he can only save one person at a time, and if you hear the gospel next to another person, he comes to faith, well, too bad for you, right? He can save in revivals masses amount of people, a lot of people, but they all come individually, and he all speaks to them one by one. Jesus knew he would meet this blind man today. He knew why the man was born blind, and he knew the man by name. The door of this sheep pen is a narrow door which only fits one sheep at a time, and each sheep that belongs to Jesus Christ is called out by name. So when you die and you come before God, your shepherd will say your name. You followed me here. Now let me lead you home to your place. Jesus knows his people by name, and he calls his people through the gospel personally. The Samaritan woman and the blind man are a perfect example of this, aren't they? Random people, as we would call it. Not random in God's eyes. Men and women who he knew would follow him. And now they shine. These people were outcasts in their time. Shine at the bright lights of the Gospel of John as the examples of God's saving work. This is an amazing reality, for he even saw the woman when she had all her husbands in a row. He's God. He saw it all. You're mine. You belong to me. Yes, you. Yes, you who, even in my face, tried to switch the topic. You are my sheep. This is true salvation when the gospel comes personally, isn't it? It's not all of us are saved, but I am saved. He died for me. He washed my sin. I find forgiveness in him. Then he leads them out. As the shepherd leads the sheep out of the pasture, and I know it looks very childish when I walk him around, the little puppet, and I do the little sheep after you, and I know in the back you can never see that anyway. But that's the way it goes. Isn't that amazing? He leads them out of this world. Right? There's a lot of sheep in this world. There's a lot of people in this world, but he leads us out of it. Not that we live in a different nation or something like that, but we walk by a different beat. We walk in a way, in a different reality. We walk in the kingdom of God. He has separated us from the world to be his own. As this blind man was cast out of the synagogue to walk with Jesus on the same streets, so we are cast out almost of this world to walk with Jesus Christ through the same streets. If the true Jesus leads you, my dear friends, then holiness and righteousness are your new food and drink. Not something that is pressed upon by force, but something that springs as living waters in the heart. A heart of love, because you have been recreated in the image of God. A new life in this old body. It's a life in the kingdom of God, rejoicing with the angels in the goodness and the purity and the holiness of God. It is walking in true life, in a life of love, a life of peace, a life of joy and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, a life of heaven in the midst of the hardships of this world, a life of a comfortable, peaceful joy deep inside the heart when the eyes can be crying for the pain and the hurt in this world, a life with God in this world. This is not some abstract, "He is my shepherd," something we sing 2 or 3 times a year. This is a reality of every day. He leads us and He guides us, our gentle Savior. It's not a lonely life. And I want to press this upon those, not who are sitting here, but those who can't make it to church, who sit alone, maybe listen over the radio, alone by themselves. Beloved, as David protected his sheep against bears and lions, so Jesus protects his followers against Satan and his demons, and he's with them. A shepherd was a man who was always near his sheep. We need to be reminded that Jesus walks with us through the cares of this life to carry our cares. And so we must cast our burden upon him. Can you imagine a whole fold of sheep all wanting to find food and drink by themselves? Be chaos. This one goes north, east, south, west, everything in between, and the sheepfold is in danger. But if they stay close to the shepherd, they will be protected, they will find food, they will find drink for their souls. And so he goes before them as the shepherd walks to find the best places in the land and to protect them against dangerous animals. So Jesus guides us on the bright path, and may I make a little connection to the gospel. Jesus Christ here is speaking about the blind man whom he accepts and says, "You believe in me." But Jesus was about to go on the cross, not long after, to walk before this blind man so that the blind man who now sees would not have to go on the cross. Jesus goes before us, and he makes the cross no longer a place of judgment, but a place of salvation. So that rather than spending our own blood, we receive life from Christ at the very place where he died. And then Jesus went before us to the grave as he died, so we died with him. And then Jesus went before us to heaven, where he sits on the right hand of God, preparing a place in the house of his Father, so we as a sheep might follow him to find the place that he has prepared for us. And even in the meantime, he doesn't leave us orphans because he sends his Holy Spirit to walk with us. Isn't that amazing? That is the Good Shepherd. And yes, he goes before us in a general sense through the path of his life, but much more specifically through the gospel, so that we might walk in salvation, because Jesus has turned our judgment into salvation and peace with God. So let us remember that in this season, why he came to this world, why we have bright lights in this dark season, because it was dark for Jesus Christ to come into this world, so that we might have light and life in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, your word is so full and so rich. It will take eternity to understand and unpack even the beginnings of this mountain of glory and truth about you. Father, we pray that we might be sheep of the shepherd. Father, we pray for those who have not heard your voice, whose life has never met you, and who still walk in the darkness of the sheep pen of world. Father, I pray that they might hear you today and might see the shepherd of their soul in Jesus Christ. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.